motor as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman. Live 95 is Cullman's Independent Radio. And now, it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
All I want to know is, who done it?
Who done what?
And where was it done? Like, was it in the kitchen with a candlestick?
Or did we include it not?
Hey, I like that.
Clue's a fun game.
I've never played it before.
It's a pretty fun game.
You've never played Clue before?
I have never played it.
Huh.
So you are clueless.
I am clueless.
That would be funny.
Where's Blake West when we need him? Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law with Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Trying to give you all kind of information out there in Cullman. Any legal questions you may have, you can give us a call at 737-9505 here in studio, and we'll get you on and let Melvin answer a question for you.
What effective microphones we have. I can hear the guy mowing outside.
I know. Well, how about that? So the microphones are good tonight. So anyway, I think tonight we're actually going to have a serious show for at least a few minutes, and we'll go back to Governor Bentley or something.
That didn't last long.
he's still in the news. He still shows up in the news.
So I was listening a while ago, something about Governor Ivey was moving some kind of voting date to August 16th. I guess about Luther Strange staying in his position.
No, I heard a lot from the Live 95 news as well. I heard yesterday that they were literally inventorying everything, like in Montgomery and like the governor's house and then this mansion
really?
That was donated. And then they're going to move to the beach and inventory that mansion.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to remember Jim Ziegler, the state auditor, which is in charge of the inventory, and is the one of the guys who brought the ethics complaint. So I'm sure he's going to be thorough in his job.
Oh, I bet. They will be looking under mattresses and all kinds of stuff. Anyway.
Could we get Stanley Steamer over here? I'm not helping him.
So much for the serious show tonight. Well, first, Melvin, what's been going on in your life over the last week? Are you busy at work?
Yes, always busy. All kinds of things. People always have questions. Always things going on.
Good, good. I can imagine how many questions, different types of questions you get in just one day.
Yeah, I should have paid attention. Lord, I had probably 7 or 8 people come in and see me today, and there's probably at least 4 or 5 different subjects. Yeah, it's
wow.
Kind of, it gets kind of tough, especially when I get real technical. Because a couple of them was real technical things. It gets pretty tough. You got to figure out, hey, where are you at? Where are you going? You know, and then the switch from, hey, talk to somebody about they've been in trouble, some kind of criminal case, to someone's got child support, and then someone over here's got some kind of question about some estate stuff, and yeah, you just have to switch back and forth and put on your different hats.
And I know you're a very intelligent young man, but do you ever have to, like, just run back and look at some of the different laws in case they've changed or something?
Yeah, that's everybody. You have to do it. You have to stay on top of it because they do change daily. I say daily, probably weekly, but there's a, you know, the Supreme Court comes out with a lot of decisions in the appeals court, Court of Criminal Appeals, Court of Civil Appeals, interpretation of laws and stuff. So you have to stay up to date on it. I mean, if not, you'll go to court and they'll say, well, you'll have a lawyer that is up to date on it. He'll say, well, Judge, last week, Supreme Court ruled, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh, crap. I don't know nothing about it.
So how do you as an attorney know of the updates? I don't guess is there an attorney newsletter that comes out or something?
There's not really a newsletter. You can get there's different I don't think Casemaker does. That's what we use. Casemaker is a free research site that's on the Alabar, that's on the Alabama State Bar website. But there are some other ones like Lexis, and there's a couple of other research things that probably gives you updates. You can do that. You can buy, there's a Alabama Law Weekly, I think, or something like that. I can't remember what it is. Used to be some publication used to come out and they would do it. You can also get on the, you can pay $21, it ain't much, $21 a month, and the e-appellate thing will show you, we'll let you know what case has been decided.
I think you have to pay.
That's $21, but it is well paid. It is, but man, it's just tough keeping up with it all.
I can imagine.
Generally, most things are just cut and dry. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
they don't change that much, but every once in a while, you have to watch out, man. And I mean, I've caught a bunch of liars off guard, and I've been caught off guard too with some cases. I say, wait a minute, Judge, I haven't seen that case. Let me look at it. And most of them are pretty decent. They say, well, we'll let you look at it, and you know, give you 7 days to give us a brief on it or something.
Good.
So they usually accommodate you, because they you know, all these judges have been lawyers too. They know how it is. It's tough to stay up with it sometimes.
I bet. So before we get started, I need to give a shout out to my little buddy Ella. She always listens to me. She's about, I don't know, Ella's probably about 10 years old. She always listens to Big D. So hello, Ella. Hope you're having a good evening. Sorry you broke your arm the other day. Hope you're feeling better.
How did she break her arm?
She went down a 30-foot ravine on a bicycle.
Oops.
Flipping, flopping, turning over. Had to call the paramedics to go down and get her out, but she's doing a lot better.
It's like a tough little 10-year-old to survive that. Yeah, I wouldn't survive.
I know, I wouldn't either. I'd be crying. But Big D loves you, and I hope you feel better. All right, Melvin. So we're going to talk about some insurance and probably try to give the public some information about insurance on cars. Maybe if you want to just start off, why don't we just talk about liability insurance just for a minute?
Yeah, the liability coverage in Alabama, each person has to have at least $25,000 liability insurance coverage. I mean, it used to be like 20 or 15 or 10 or whatever it used to be, but now it's 25,000. So that's why when you go to the revenue commissioner's office to get your tags, they want proof of insurance. If you're going to operate a vehicle, you're supposed to have $25,000 liability insurance. That $25,000 liability covers property damage and medical claims. You know what I'm saying? So if you're involved in an accident, you hit somebody else, you know, it's got property damage claim and it's got medical claims. Now, it should be, and here I am getting caught off guard talking about reviewing. I guess I should be ready. It should be $25,000 for property and $25,000 for the medical.
Okay, now when you're talking property, are you talking mainly the other vehicle?
The other vehicle, or it even... You know, if you damage someone else's property inside their vehicle, it can cover it also.
I got you.
And then, okay, let's do the flip side. If someone hits my vehicle and damages it, then, you know, that $25,000 covers my property, my vehicle. But if I have property inside of it,
laptops or whatever,
or something stolen, I didn't realize this until I actually had a vehicle stolen from me and had some stuff in there. I had a gun stolen and a few other items. That stuff was covered by my homeowner's insurance.
Okay.
Yeah, so homeowner's covers your personal property, no matter if it's in your vehicle or what.
Gotcha.
But general liability only covers the other person.
Right.
So it don't cover you.
Right.
You know, but it's required. And, you know, the amounts are, they usually have like 25. If you have, the minimum's $25,500. So that means $25,000 for one person or one car, or $50,000 total. So if you hit a vehicle with two people in it, each one of them's got $25,000. You hit a vehicle with three people in it, then the total amount's $50,000. If you hit a vehicle with 300 people in it, the total amount's $50,000. That's all the coverage that you have available for them. So
now look, I'm not picking on Coleman County. I'm just saying in general, when people go get their tags, how many times do you think they're actually asked for that insurance?
I think
proof of insurance.
They're pretty strict on it now.
You think so?
Well, they're strict on me. Maybe it's just being on me. I don't know. Because every time I try to get one, when you see your policy. I don't want to get too much off topic and get on my little soapbox, but let me tell you. Insurance, liability insurance, if you read it, it covers the person. It don't cover a vehicle. A vehicle is covered by comprehensive insurance and collision insurance.
Okay.
So, this is what gets me. If I'm a person that's covered in a liability policy, $25,000, and I've got one, why do I have to have one for all five of my vehicles?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because that liability insurance, if I hit somebody, they're not going to get to collect five liability insurance policies. Only one of my liability insurance is going to pay.
Exactly.
So, that is a... That's something that I know it's tough. So that's the liability. That is what's required. But I'll give everybody some very good free legal advice. Also, what's required by state law is they have to offer you uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage. What that means is if you're hit by somebody with uninsured, or if you're hit by somebody that don't have enough insurance, they're underinsured. This picks up what's left. Now then, you have to be offered that in any liability insurance policy that's offered by an insurance company. You can waive it, and the only way you can waive it is to have it in writing. You have to sign it and have it in writing. Now, there are a lot of people, I think agents are putting themselves at risk if they don't encourage their insured people to keep that insurance, because that has become very valuable. But there are people that don't know any better, and they sign off saying, "I'll just waive it. I don't want it." It doesn't cost you that much, but it is extra money for you. And okay. And it goes, it's the same thing, $25, $50, $100, $200, $300, $400, $250, $500. They got all different kinds of coverage. The first number is always one person. The last number is total, no matter if it's two people or 50 people in there. So, but do not waive your underinsured motors. Let me give you some. Man, I can't tell you how many examples of this. I've got a I represented a girl that was in a vehicle, and she got injured real bad. She had over $100,000 worth of medical bills, and the only money that was out there, the other person didn't really have any property. The thing was out there was $25,000. She had three other vehicles that she could have, if she would have kept her uninsured motor, she would have got $75,000 more out of them. But she signed, but it cost her too much money or whatever else, and she signed that waiver and waived off that uninsured motorist, man, and lost $75,000. And that happens a lot. You do not ever waive uninsured motorists.
Wow.
It's very important.
You know what? What I think is kind of funny, which is not funny, is the cost of the deductible. You know, so you have full coverage and you have your deductible. A lot of people that has full coverage insurance and something happens and they need to pay a deductible, they don't even have the money to pay that, you know, because they're getting $1,000 deductible to get cheaper insurance per month. They have an accident, and they can't even come up with the money.
And it's a mess. Yep, they don't. I mean, they'll pay you out the money and subtract the deductible out of it, and it's not going to be enough to fix your car, and it's tough.
All right, Jay. It looks like we have Bridget from Coleman on the line. Bridget, welcome to Understanding the Law. You can now speak with Melvin. What's your question?
Hey, thank you guys. I would like to know if there are any benefits for children whose fathers were exposed to Agent Orange.
Any benefits?
Exposed to Agent Orange. You talk about in the military, Agent Orange?
Yes. He was over in Vietnam three times and was exposed to Agent Orange, and I've got a laundry list of health issues. And I'm wondering if maybe that was the cause.
Well, that's a tough question, but I would, is our children. So you're asking, I'm trying to figure out, you're asking if the child may have the Agent Orange, the stuff, or are you talking about the father?
Yes.
the child? Well, that's a tough question. Yes. You know, the only people that know, I mean, I ain't going to say the only people know that. Probably the best place to go to, you'd have to talk to the Veterans Administration. But you know what? They may not. I think they will. I think if you go talk to the Veterans Administration and let them know that you've got a dependent of a veteran, I think they will listen to what you say, and they will know. I'm just wondering, you know, I guess the real technical question that you're going to have to be concerned about is proving it. So you're going to have some type of a medical, I think you'd have to have some kind of a medical proof from a physician saying, look, this child has it, these symptoms consistent with Agent Orange, and it's hereditary. That's the key. You know, that's what I'm questioning right. In my mind. Is that inheritable? Can you inherit something like that?
That is a tough question.
That is a tough question. But I guarantee you this, you will have to have some kind of medical proof for them saying that it is inherited. You know, otherwise, okay. they're probably going to say it's just the veteran that's covered, I would imagine.
Yep, I would think so.
That is that's a tough question, Bridget. You guys, first one that I've had, but I think your deal is going to be the medical proof. Because listen, I had talked to a guy, he had hearing loss from the veterans, and it was, he was shooting in Vietnam, he's shooting the big cannons, the big guns and stuff, and it got tough on him getting some. His hearing loss come later on, and I mean they was. And he's the veteran himself, and it was tough for him. He finally got it, but he'd go through a lot of loops with some physicians to prove that hearing loss was not something that was genetic. It was something that was caused by shooting them guns. And I think they agreed when you sit there and fire a gun for months and months in a row without any hearing protection, it probably caused hearing loss. So you're going to have some medical proof, I would think.
Okay.
Hey, Bridget, they got a VA's office. Yeah. They got a Veterans Administration's office up there, Veteran Affairs, on the first floor at the Coleman County Courthouse. They're nice people. You can go in there and talk to them and see what they say. I'm sure that's not the first time they've had that question. But thanks for calling.
Okay, I appreciate your information.
Yes, ma'am.
Have a good night, Bridget.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right.
So let's get back. So that's the liability part of it.
Okay.
You're required to have it. You got to have it. And I'm telling y'all, man, you need uninsured motorists. It is absolutely 100% worth the money in there. And then you're right about the deductibles. You know, whether it's a $250, $500, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 deductible, it's all about how much your payments are. As long as you don't have a wreck,
you're good.
As long as a tornado or a hailstorm don't come through, you're fine. But boy, or it was stolen, you know, something right. like that. That's it, you know. And what? Let me tell you, this liability, and even we'll get into full coverage stuff in a minute. But the type of these insurance companies aren't out there just writing checks freely, you know.
Oh no,
you got a car that you paid $10,000 for 2 months ago, and you have something happens to it, and you're trying to get insurance coverage. Good luck trying to get $6,000 out of them. You know what I'm saying? You're going to say, I didn't need my payoff.
No. Right.
They don't care. They're going to say, that's what the value of it is. It's tough to...
So why don't you tell me about your personal experience when you had your own vehicle stolen. How did that work? Did your insurance try to buy you another vehicle or what?
No, they paid me money. I tell you about the experience. That's a pretty good experience. I went down to... See, slash your snake pit, slash from Guns N' Roses. See, I was down. I went down to Birmingham, and I got out of a Grand National, Buick Grand National. I love my car.
Oh, was it black, by the way?
Oh, yeah, it's a black Grand National. I got out of it, probably didn't even walk around the corner. It was gone. So,
no way.
So it was taken. So, yeah, I just filed a claim on it, and, you know, that was in the probably 95, 96 time. This was an 87 model. So they gave me more than what I paid for it. I got a good deal on the car. So that wasn't that problem. Now, had a gun that was stolen, some CDs were stolen, and other things that were stolen in there. Luckily, my homeowner's insurance deductible was $250 or $500. It's real cheap, so my gun covered it. So they gave me my homeowners gave me a few hundred extra dollars off of it. So I did pretty good.
So, crazy question. Did they come in any other color besides black? I don't think I've ever seen any besides black.
There might have been a gray one, but I can't remember if it was a Grand National, if it's just a Buick Regal.
I think everyone I've ever seen was black, by the way.
Black ones, cool ones.
They was.
So that was it. Then I've heard of Harley Davidson stolen. Had a taken out of my yard. Had a dirt bike stolen. People just like to say, hey, a few years ago, we're getting off topic, I guess, but years ago, I had a daggum. This is pretty smart. He thought it was smart. I owned a Chevrolet pickup truck. So some guy went and stole another Chevrolet pickup truck down the road from me because I ended up finding out who it was. And he come and took my tag off of my truck and put it on that vehicle. So I guess his thinking was, if somebody calls that tag number in, see, if he'd left the original tag on there, then it would have been a reported stolen truck. So
that was a smart idea.
That's a pretty smart idea. That truck comes back to Melvin Hastings. And they would probably would have pulled him over anyway for sure.
Oh, let's get him now.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, you just file claims, and that's where them deductibles gets to be imported on the liability stuff.
Wow.
Well, on any insurance, not just liability.
So we've talked about liability, and we're going to jump into full coverage, but Jay, why don't we go ahead and go to break first, and then we'll come back and talk about that and a few other things. You're listening to Understanding the Law with Melvin Hastings right here on Live 95.5 Coleman's Independent Radio.
Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, is proud to present our first syndicated radio show. Hosted by our very own Coleman native, who is a member of the Coleman High School Class of 86, Paul Watley. Tune in on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. for British Music Rocks, a two-hour show featuring the best music from across the pond from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
This is Paul Watley, your host for British Music Rocks. Please join me each Sunday at 7 p.m. for British Music Rocks, where we will take an in-depth look at British rock from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
And stay tuned after British Music Rocks for our very own Sunday Night Live. All live cuts from 9 o'clock until midnight, right here on Live 95, the station all about Coleman. We're Coleman's Independent Radio. Live 95 is doing it again. Live 95 turns 3 years old this month, and we're throwing a huge party to celebrate. Live 95.5, Coleman's Independent Radio, is proud to announce the return of our Battle of the Band series. And this year, we're expanding it to 2 days and moving it to the Coleman County Fairgrounds. We're also adding food trucks, an arts and crafts area, and an area for the kids. Live 95 works with local bands each year to give them a chance to perform for their community and be broadcast live on the air. This year's event will be April 29th and 30th, and we are planning an event to be bigger and better than ever. Y'all show your love for our great sponsors, Creative Design, John's Lawn Care and Pressure Washing, your local CPA, Denise Key, Dye Service Heating and Cooling, Freedom Insurance Agency, and Pepsi of Coleman. If you'd like to help promote local music and sponsor this event, send us an email to studio@live95coleman.com. Check out this list of local Coleman bands we've booked so far. Brick Avenue, Wes Brown, Gary Sanders, Stone Floor Theory, Inclination of Direction, Down South, and Dark Before Dawn all on Saturday. Then come back on Sunday for round two, Crushing Atlas and the Cotton Pickin' Kids. We've been excited to bring you a unique blend of music for the last 3 years, featuring music you may not hear on the dial here in Coleman. The FCC granted us use of the 95.5 frequency, so we felt it only fitting to give Coleman access to their best local bands for the low price of $9.55. Tickets are available now on the Live 95 website at www.live95coleman.com through the Eventbrite service. Get your ticket now, because there's limited availability, and tickets are sure to be a bit higher at the door on the day of the event.
It's the Live 95 Third Annual Battle of the Bands, live from the Cullman County Fairgrounds, and broadcast live on 95.5 FM right here in Cullman, Alabama. Thanks for supporting Live 95, Cullman's independent radio. Welcome back. Live 95 is Cullman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law with Melvin Hastings. Hey, look, I've got some of this butterscotch candy over here, and I want to put it in my mouth, but I'm afraid it's going to slur my speech. Danielle puts this big old pile of candy over here, knowing it's going to mess my speech up if I start chewing.
I've done 8 months, so is it like laced with something that
I don't know
about?
I don't know. If you're going to the bathroom in a few minutes, we'll know. So I have an off-the-wall question. So, of course, you got all these attorneys on TV and yelling, you know, have you been in an accident? We're going to sue. So, I mean, if you're in an accident and you just hurt somebody's car or maybe they'll have a rib broke, I mean, what is that lawyer thinking more that he's going to get? Just some personal injury money through that?
Yeah, I've learned probably the hard way. I really try to help a lot of people out. But when you can't make a living on these
ambulance chasers.
Well, no, you make a living on ambulance chasers. You can't make a living on the vehicle stuff, the property damage.
I got you.
You got a bodily injury, a BI claim, bodily injury claim. Then you got a property claim. You will not make any money off property claims. And then even if you do, you're really hurting the other person. For instance, you came to me and said, Maven, I got this $5,000. I got this vehicle. I owe $5,000 on it. It's got total, and they're only offering me $3,200.
Right.
Well, if I go sue for you, you know, $3,200, and I keep $1,000 of it, then you just, you know, even if I get you $4,000, if I just get you $5,000, you're still losing money on it. You know what I'm saying? So, I usually try to help out and negotiate, but the extra money is really in the bodily injury claim. That's what you have to look for.
Learn something every day. All right, so we're going to go with full coverage insurance. So,
So let's talk about what all is covered in full coverage insurance. You have the liability we talked about, which is if you damage somebody else's person or property. You have uninsured motorist, which I tell you is the most important insurance you got to have. It's called UIM, uninsured motorist or underinsured. Do not waive it. Do not sign the paper and waive it, okay? Because that's money for you or anybody in your vehicle. If they're injured, that is money for them to cover in case the other person has to be at fault. That's the key. You don't get uninsured motorist if you're the fault of the accident or if you're the only vehicle. If the other person's at fault and they don't have enough insurance, then that's where that coverage kicks in.
So let me ask you this before you go on. Do some insurance companies try to get you to waive that?
Oh, yeah. Well,
just because
they probably do, yes, because, I mean, like for instance, and what I've done is, I mean, I keep my liability up there pretty decent amount, but I bumped up my uninsured motorist because I was like, look, you know, that's money for me.
Right.
If I've got somebody, because you don't realize you get hit pretty hard in an accident, get a broken ribs and broken femur or something, broken leg, or some head injuries, and you stay in a helicopter bill. That's for that gets ridiculous. And then you get flown to Huntsville Hospital. You got a $100,000 bill real fast. And some guy hits you or lady hits you, and it's got $25,000 worth of coverage. It's all gone. So that underinsured motorist, I'm telling you, it is very important to make sure you have it. And bump it up, I think I might even went to 100,000 on it. You know, they'll say, hey, we'll bump you up to 50,000 a vehicle. I think I even said, no, I want 100,000. You know,
I better check mine.
Yeah, it's good. Make sure you have it, because that's important to cover you, because that, you know, that money's out there. It's going to cover you for your loss of earnings and everything else. You bumped up and bummed up for 6 months, you lose some money. Earning kind of money like BK does.
Well, you know, hey.
Yeah, so you better have a lot of insurance.
Living the big life.
So that is UIM coverage. The other one is MedPay coverage, or medical payments coverage. That's only limited. Most policies now are $5,000, and that's about it. And that's something else I don't agree with, but the Supreme Court's ruled on it. You have medical payments. Okay, UIM. Man, I can spend a whole show on just this insurance stuff, so I'm going to try to take it little bit by bit. UIM coverage, what's important about it is you can stack it. So you can stack up to three vehicles on the same policy. So what that means is, let's go back, just say that the minimum amount, $25,000. If I have three vehicles and each one of them has $25,000 worth of UIM coverage, I have $75,000 worth of money there. If I have four vehicles, I only still have 75, because you can only stack three vehicles. So what you have to do, and I had to make sure I did this when I got more than three vehicles, I have to make sure I go to my agent and says, look, I want this on another policy. Give me another policy number, because you can only stack it three under one policy number. So you can stack UIM, and the reasoning behind it, the Supreme Court says, is that you're paying money for each policy. You're paying a premium for each UIM coverage, therefore you get it.
Okay.
So with that same reasoning, you would only think that, hey, if I have full coverage on my vehicles and I have medical payments on each one of these, that I get to stack medical payments. But that is not true. Even though you pay a premium for each one of them, it says, and if you read and this is what happens, the insurance companies, their contracts say, we'll pay medical payments, but you only get one coverage.
Gotcha.
And that's what the Supreme Court says. You signed a document that says it's only limited to one coverage.
Wow.
And the UIM, they say, since it is required by the state, the insurance offer that, and you pay for it, that's why you could stack it. I don't agree with the medical payments. I think you ought to be able to stack them. But anyway, medical payments covers your medical bills in an accident for you, or if someone else in your vehicle is injured. You only get the $5,000. Some of them is just $1,000 or $2,000, and that's it. But I was fixing to come up with something important. Under that medical payments also, if someone unfortunately dies in an accident, they'll usually pay that money out too.
Okay.
The important thing I was going to tell you about medical payments, 10 years ago, maybe even up to 5 years ago, if you had medical payment insurance, they'd just mail that check to you. Now they won't do it. They mail the check to the providers. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They usually pay them. So, and the reason being is the hospital association got pretty smart, got down to Montgomery, and they made hospital liens a priority lien. So if there's a hospital lien out there and you don't pay for it or take care of it, then the attorney's responsible for it, and then the insurance company will be responsible for it. Yeah, so that's why they started paying for it. That's why they started saying, we're going to make sure there's no hospital liens. It's in the bills. Medicaid, Medicare, if they pay for them, that is automatic. You have to pay them back. It's called subrogation. If you don't pay them back, then the lawyer gets stuck with the bill, or the insurance company gets stuck with the bill too. So that's medical payments coverage. Then the only other two things left is collision and comprehensive. I don't know why I always have to look it up and think, because it just makes sense. Collision is collision. So if your vehicle's collided with something and got with another automobile, then collision part covers it. Comprehensive is everything else. Fires, thefts, vandalisms, whatever else. Hail damage, whatever else type of things happen. So that's all the different types of coverages. All
right, so let's go over to something I'm sure that's very popular, and I can't remember the name of it. Maybe is it the SR-22, where you get a DUI and you have to get that special insurance?
Yes.
Can you tell me about that? Because I'm sure a lot of people have that. unfortunately, they get them.
And then, you know, I don't know if it's just covered for DUIs. It's probably, you know, would if you've you get the high numbers on your license, whatever else. Yeah, that's there. A lot of times when I think of SR-22, you're right, but there's another state report form, and I can't remember what it's called, that it gets used a lot. Here's some more information for the good old public out there. If you're driving down the road and some guy hits you, and I'm picking on guys tonight because okay. That guy, that will be that's gender. What's the word I'm looking for? That is non-gender specific.
Right, be exactly.
Man or female. But anyway, you got a person that hits you. You can file a report with the state, and you fill out your insurance information or your information. All right, the state will send that report to the other person involved in the accident. That other person's got to fill out the information with their insurance and everything else. If they don't have insurance or whatever else, then the state will suspend their license.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So if you do have someone that hits you and they don't have insurance, sometimes that's a way that it's used to pressure them into paying,
right.
Paying up or whatever.
Because I'm sure there's been so many times people has not got paid or...
Oh, it's a lot.
It's incredible.
Yes. You know, and I wonder how many people... When now they've got a database because... It helped me out. I actually got pulled over a few months ago, and I didn't have... I was trying to look through my vehicle, couldn't find my proof of insurance. So looked it up, and it says, well, I see that you've got insurance coverage or whatever else. And he let me go, and there's no problem with that. So they've actually got a database where they can look it up and see. But I'm wondering how many people gets insurance, goes gets their tag, and then drops it the next day.
I bet it happens all the time.
I ain't no doubt it happens. You know, I'm just wondering if the state's notified of that, you know. So
I don't know.
Yeah,
you would think, you would hope.
Yep.
Because, of course, that insurance company is wanting to keep you as a customer, so that's just something they can hold over your head. Hey, we'll call the state and let them know that you don't have insurance.
Yep, and get the they're not getting you premiums. And, you know, another thing about when you get into the insurance stuff, the comprehensive stuff, and even the collision, when you're collision covers your vehicle, and then the comprehension covers your vehicle, you know, it's important when you're talking to your agent. And if you watch TV, half the commercials for insurance is either State Farm or Nationwide or whoever else Allstate. They own all the TV stations practically as far as their advertising. But replacement costs versus repair costs, you know, sometimes it can be a difference. They may give you the actual cash value. That's real important of your vehicle. That we go back to the $5,000 vehicle, they may say, hey, your actual cash value is $3,200. That's all we're going to play.
Right.
If you got the replacement costs, then you know you can get more money because you say, no, I want to replace my vehicle with a like, you know, right. Like kind of stuff. So insurance gets tough. So.
And that's the whole bad thing about depreciation of any vehicle. So you drive it off the car lot and you lost about $5,000, and then you have a wreck 6 months down the road.
That's bad.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, you lose the money. Yeah, you just have to take that consideration when you.
I know.
When you're buying a vehicle, because you're not going. It's rare, and I was one, but I got a good, really good deal on my vehicle when I actually got paid a little bit better on it. But 99% of the time, you are going to lose money. If you have something happen to your vehicle, you are going to lose money. Whether it's your down payment money or how much you owe or whatever else. So, you had asked me about filing the lawsuits. You know, the like I said, the property damage, you're almost doing a disservice on it. Most of the time, if there's any lawsuit files or if you get attorneys involved, that's not saying they won't do it.
Right.
You know, you're just going to have to pay them. It's not going to be a contingency. They're not going to sit there and say, hey, if I collect money for you, then you know, I'll get a certain percentage of it. Most of that's going to be for the bodily injury claims when you got someone that's actually got an injury from the wreck.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. It'll be our last break, and we'll be back in just a moment. This is Understanding the Law with Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. You're listening to the big... almost threw a big D. What was up with that? I'm so used to saying that. You're listening to Big D with Melvin Hastings. right here on Live 95.5. We'll be back in just a moment.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
All right, look, so I broke my own rule, and I've got butterscotch in my mouth.
I was going to say something about it. I was trying to keep a smile off my face.
And I'm going to try to speak without being slurred.
Yeah, you don't want to be accused of being under the influence on the radio show.
Man, I haven't had butterscotch in a long time, and it's really good. So, because the other day I had bought some Rolos, and Danielle was with me, and of course, you know I'm a diabetic, so I don't try to let people see me get sugar. So I snuck it in the cart. And then when I got home, I took my Rolos and put them where I put the eggs at and tried to hide them. And she said, "Hey, I send you Rolos in the refrigerator." I love Rolos. So let me ask you about the guest statue. I've heard something about that. Tell me exactly what that is.
That's ugly.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's a bad deal. I wish the legislature change it. They never will change it, I don't think. It's all about the insurance companies, too. The guest statute says that if you're a guest in a vehicle, not a passenger, let me get it right. If you're a guest in a vehicle, the driver of the vehicle is immune from liability. All right. So here it is. Me and you are just riding down the road, and you're not getting any benefit from riding down the road. We're just riding together for whatever reason. I'm not getting any benefit out of it or whatever else. And I have a wreck, and you get injured, and it's my fault that I have the wreck. You can't sue me, and you can't recover. Not only can you not recover from my insurance, you can't recover from your UIM insurance.
That's going to be the most craziest thing I've ever heard.
You can get MedPay, yes. Hey, it is nuts. It drives us nuts. People, I mean, the lawyers that does this, I've had some cases. Had two young girls. There was a drive. She was just riding with this girl. They worked together. Just riding with this girl. This one girl just turned in front of a vehicle, and then the insurance company says, "Hey, she was a guest in there, and therefore you can't collect from her." So I was like, "All right, well, we can collect on her uninsured." Nope, it covers it too. It's the craziest law, but it goes back when I read the Supreme Court reasoning behind it. It goes back to the early 1910s, 1920s, whatever else. And what it was, it protected people. If I was driving down the highway and all these guys walking, you know, when people didn't really have vehicles, if I happened to pick someone up just to help them out, it's like a Good Samaritan type law. I help them pick them up, take them to town or whatever else, and something happens, then they can't sue me because they're my guest.
So how long has this been in effect?
It's since probably not 1900, early 1900s, probably 1901. Yeah, I don't know
because when it came effect, but I could have sworn, and I could be wrong, but the whole Hulk Hogan son picked up a friend, I believe, and they were in the same vehicle drag racing. He wrecks, and the boy's parents sues.
Okay. There's an exception.
And gets plenty of money.
There is exception, and that's where that comes in at. Now then, realize this. Alabama is one of the only few states with the guest statutes. There's only a few.
Oh, okay.
Left.
I didn't know that.
Okay,
I thought it
number
was...
Number one. It's, okay. Not, it's not nationwide. Number
gotcha.
One. Most other states recognize it's ridiculous. and it's not fair. I mean, really, it's not fair. Number two thing is this. There are exceptions. The exception is... If the driver is reckless, willful it's called willful or wanton, willful misconduct. So okay. A DUI. See, I've had cases that I represented people on where the driver was DUI. Well, then that gets you out of the guest statute.
Okay.
If the driver's driving 120 miles an hour, that gets you out of the guest statute. You know, so when you got someone that's injured as a passenger is what we call them. If you call them a guest, and insurance companies love that, you call them a passenger in a vehicle, that person's injured, then you got to look at, all right, what is the driver? There's two things we look at. What is the driver's actions? Was he reckless
right.
in causing this accident so you can get out of the guest statute? Or you look and say, did he receive some benefit? You know, did the passenger pay him money? Did the pastor give him some benefit? Were they driving to go get lunch and the pastor was going to pay for the lunch? If the driver gets a benefit out of it, then it gets it outside the guest statute too. So I guess.
I'm always buying you lunch for a ride with you then. I'll give him his Taco Bell.
It don't matter. I mean, it get it out. If there is a benefit, then it gets you outside the guest statute. It's tough. You know, and I could see maybe, me and my wife's driving a vehicle. I have a wreck, and she gets injured in that. She gets injured in that wreck. I could see them saying, "All right, she can't sue your liability insurance." You know what I'm saying? Because y'all are under the same coverage.
Right.
I could see why there would be some reasoning in that. But if it's just any other general person, I mean, they're just more or less saying, "Hey, you're taking it at your own risk." But I don't think it's fair that you don't get you can't use your uninsured insurance. I don't like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If I'm riding with you and I can't sue you and get your get liability because it's your fault, you have this wreck and I'm injured in it, I still can't use my uninsured motorist that I pay for to get this. But Supreme Court at one time ruled it that you could, and then in the 80s or 90s, I can't remember when it was, they ruled no, you're not entitled to it. They said if it's barred by the liability, it's barred with your uninsured motorist.
Wow.
I know.
There's a loophole in everything,
yeah,
isn't
there?
There
is a loophole in everything. And that, man, I tell you what, when people comes in and they tell me that, hey, I was riding with somebody, I mean, my heart just falls out. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. I'm like, all right, tell me something good. You got to tell me the other person was DUI, they were speeding. Both of them, you know, tell me that you were, that y'all had some kind of common benefit in it because
wow.
It is important. It is very important. And insurance companies love to throw it out there.
Oh, I would every time if yes. I was an insurance agent yep. or a company or, wow.
You know, and the way insurance works, They're like a trustee. They got a fiduciary duty. What way insurance is, everybody pulls their money together. So when you're paying premiums, everybody's putting their money together. And if you have a claim, a legitimate claim, if you're in that class of people's paying his premiums, they've got to pay that money out. So the insurance company is just a trustee making sure that they're using your money paying out claims for the people in that class. But if you talk to an insurance company, it's their money. You know what I'm saying? They're like, hey, that's exactly. Their money. You know, exactly. And it is frustrating. And I know there is fraud out there. And that's what, if you had somebody come in from the insurance industry, they'd say, we're protecting a lot of fraud. And the amount of money that they pay out determines how much your insurance rates go up. But I'm sure if they paid out, hey, if the insurance company saved $2 million this year, I don't think our insurance rates will go down, are they?
Absolutely.
They're
going
to stay the same. What you're trying to do is hope that they don't go up. I'm sure that $2 million will go to campaign funds.
Exactly.
So we can keep the guest statute in place.
Melvin, we've got Brandon from Coleman on the line. Brandon, welcome to Understanding the Law. What's your question for Melvin?
Melvin, I was calling about parental rights as far as rights on a child.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you are a male in the state of Alabama, you are on your child's birth certificate. You pay your child support. You have no legal issues, no anything. Is there any law saying that the court cannot grant you rights to have visitation, any kind of rights towards your child?
No, actually, it's to the contrary. There is plenty of case law that says that a parent cannot be deprived of their right to visit. So there's no way that a court can keep you from visiting your child. If they do, they have to use the least restrictive mean. Now, then, of course, there would be an exception. If I'm abusing my child, like really abusing my child, then, of course, the courts can probably stop me from seeing my child. But absent that, there's no way that they can stop you from doing it. Now, let's go back a few weeks ago when we talked about this topic. There's two. If you came and talked to me, the first thing I want to know, is this a divorce or is this were you ever married or were you not? Because that's two total different things. So I assume you're just talking about your own birth certificate. This is a child born out of wedlock. Is that right?
Well, the thing was I was with my daughter's mother. We were not married. We had our child and split up. Okay.
Okay. So that makes sense.
Almost a year, she would not allow me to see my child, so I went and had myself put on her birth certificate, went through the court, went and put on child support, and then for 2 years since, I have no record, no charges whatsoever, have a great job, I work 7 days a week, and still am not allowed to see my child, and they will not do anything. DHR says, well, you're the man, so you have to just try to go through the court and see what can happen.
All right, a lot of important things you just told me. There's two. What you did is you filed what we call a paternity action. You said, Judge, I want you to legally give me rights to my child. I want to be legally declared the father of my child. And that's what happened. Now then, when you mention the words DHR, you're talking about DHR child support. The only thing that they do or that they can do is deal with child support, which involves how much money you pay each month and then deals with medical bills, anything pertaining to support. It does not deal with custody and it does not deal with visitation. Your problem more than likely is that issue hadn't been raised in court. Now, you may have raised it with a worker. I understand that. But you've got to file something in court to judge, I want visitation rights and I want custody rights. If you go to court with the DHR it's called the 4D child support docket. If you go to court on the child support docket, they're going to talk to you solely about child support. That's it. Once you start saying, I want to do visits, I want to talk about custody, they should, and most of the time they do, they say, look, that's something separate. You'll have to get your lawyer for that.
That's exactly what happened. I went to court and they said, we'll put you on child support, but now you've got to have another court case.
Yes.
To even talk about your rights.
Yes. So what you would want to do is, unfortunately, and it's, I mean, it's going to cost you more money, but listen, I mean, you can have a lawyer. You don't necessarily have to have a lawyer. You're going to have to pay the filing fee. It's, what, $151, $154. You can file a petition in court saying, Judge, I want visitation rights and custody rights of my child, and then it'll be back. If it's in Coleman, was that in Coleman?
I live in Hansville.
Yeah, then I mean, you'll be back in front of Judge Turner again, and I mean, he'll hear your case, and he's fair about it. You're going to get rights. He's going to set up a visitation schedule and custody stuff. But you're probably going to go to court on it. Probably have to fight. A lot of it just depends. But unfortunately, all you did was get your action, get something filed that says, hey, I'm legally declared a father. They should have changed the birth certificate, add your name to the birth certificate, and you got a child support order, and that's it. You need to get something in front of the judge saying, look, I want visitation custody rights. He'll take care of you.
Well, I guess I'll come talk to you again.
All right, Brandon. Thank you, man. Great, I appreciate you calling. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a common thing, isn't it? It's a common thing.
A weekly thing.
Yeah, it is. I talk to somebody about it every week. They just don't. You go to court, you know, and this guy right here says he filed it, and that happens a lot. I have dads that come up here and says, hey, you know, I'm having problems with getting access to my child. That's my child, and I want access to him. So we file a paternity action, but also, and all that paternity action is for the court to declare he's legally the father of that child. The next step you got to also file is custody and visitation rights. If you don't, then you're not. Now then, some of the moms will go to and a lot of them goes to DHR, and they'll file a paternity action themselves against the father. All right. So this father gets served this DHR petition, this paternity petition. It says the state of Alabama on the top of it, and they'll go to court thinking, hey, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get custody of my child. I want custody of my child. I want visits from my child. But, you know, they're informed, and they're right. If you don't file a counterclaim for it, the only thing before court is determine you legally the father of the child and set your child support. So them poor guys leave court with nothing other than having to pay child support, you know. So you got to file something and get it in the court. And like I said, you know, in Coleman County, it's Judge Turner. He'll hear your case, and, you know, you get to present your case. Now, unfortunately, the Supreme Court has kind of, and the Court of Civil Appeals has kind of ruled that there's kind of a presumption when you're not married to the mom that the mom is the best custodial parent. I believe the reasoning is, I always tell people, and I mean, this only makes sense to me. If you're married, it's obvious you're there. Pretty well obvious that you're there taking care of that child because you're married to the mom, right, and you're there from the birth, more or less. Whatever else, but if you're not married to the mom, you're not living together. Then it only makes sense that if the child's living with the mom, that she's the one that's taking care of the child. You know, it's kind of a little bit tougher for the father. It's a little bit more of a burden when you got that kind of case. And my question is, hey, have you ever lived with the mom? Have you ever lived with a mom when she's had the child? Have you ever participated in taking care of this child? Because if you can do that, you know. I think the judge just don't want to take a 6 month old child, 2 year old child, and say, hey, you go to court, here's your daddy, go home with him, and hope he raised you well. You know, I think that's a lot of the reasoning. So
nothing against Brandon, but when we're talking about the birth of the child and the birth certificate, why wouldn't both parents want to have their name on that birth certificate? I mean, and I don't know, and like I said, it's nothing against Brandon, but in the general everyday thing, you would think that the mother would also want the father's name on that birth certificate.
But I do not believe that the mother can put the father's name on the birth certificate.
They can't?
No, the father has to sign. Even if you're married, like when I had my two boys, I had to sign that same affidavit of paternity saying these are my children, okay, whatever else. So you have to sign it, then they add your name to the birth certificate. For instance, you. I've had people come in that was married and the father's name was not on birth certificate. That was the reason why.
Really?
Yeah. But it's easy to fix then. If they're married, father's name not on birth certificate, you just go file some forms. And actually now, I think the state's gotten pretty lax on stuff. I believe that you can fill out forms. I believe you can fill out forms without even going to court and adding a father's name now.
Wow.
Yeah. You just have to do some searching online. So,
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Now, granted, my oldest daughter is 30 years old, so I can't remember back 30 years if I signed a sheet of paper or not. As Danielle says, you have short-term memory. I mean, sometimes I can't remember what I done yesterday, much less 30 years ago. But, wow, I didn't know that. I learned something new every day. Well, Jay, do we have another caller? I heard the phone ringing. Guess not. Yeah. Wow, where does the time go? Yeah. It seems like when we sit down, the hour is gone like within seconds.
It is gone, and we kind of get sidetracked.
The hour is up, but we do have one more call, so go ahead. I think he was going to continue on to the conversation you were having earlier. So.
Okay, go ahead. Caller, go ahead.
I know. This is Brandon back. I actually seen that y'all were talking about why the father or the mother wouldn't originally at the hospital put their name on the birth certificate. But see, the thing is when a birthing mother goes to the hospital, they have the right to refuse anybody to come in to participate in the birthing, whatever. And see, that was, I was still watching the video and figured I would call back to answer the question. See, I was not allowed to.
But Brandon, like I said a while ago, it was nothing against you. It's something that I didn't know, and so I wanted to know the answer.
And Brandon,
in general.
Brandon just said what I wanted to say. He had the courage to say it because that does happen a lot. I mean, you know, a father can have his name put on there when he's there.
Right.
If mom don't want you on there, then you're not on there.
See, that's something I didn't know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because they even have codes where they can say, hey, I don't want this person up there, whether it's the father or not, and they won't allow you even in the hospital, period.
Yes, because
can I say this? That's crazy.
It is, but... See, the mom, you got to realize this, the mom is the patient. At some point, the child becomes the patient, but the mom's the patient, she ain't got a right to refuse.
But let me tell you something else. Daddies are important.
Yes. Yes.
And Brandon, you're important too, brother.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you calling back, man, because you're right. You said what I wanted to say. You know.
All righty. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good day.
All right, you too, Brandon. Man. Bye-bye. Well, another quick edition of Understanding the Law. Wow. Look, I love the Big D Radio Show on Thursday nights, but man, I love Understanding the Law. I think a little bit more.
It is fun. I've talked to some people.
I heard that, and it's recorded.
Yes. Hey, I've talked to some people, and I'm hopefully going to get some more guests up here, and give us a lot more information.
That's awesome.
Yes.
We have fun with them also.
Yes.
This is Understanding the Law with Coleman Attorney Melvin Haston. We'll be back next Tuesday night at 6 p.m. This is Big D. God bless you and God bless America.